This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says the large-scale overnight attack on Kyiv was one of the most outrageous yet by Russia. At least 9 people were killed in the capital, more than 70 hurt in drone and missile strikes. The attack coming after President Trump lashed out at Zelensky for rejecting a U.S.-proposed peace deal that would have Ukraine giving up the Crimean Peninsula, which Russia has held since 2014. 50,000 mourners filing past the Pope lying in state at St. Peter's Basilica ahead of Saturday's funeral. In southern New Jersey, wildfire continues to burn.
This is still very much an active firefight, according to officials. There were more than 1,300 structures that were threatened. So far, officials say just one large storage building for a business has been destroyed. But they're going to continue fighting this until they get some soaking rainfall, and they are not expecting that today. They're hoping for it late Friday, maybe heading into the weekend.
ABC's Trevor Ault, air quality alerts in place for New York City because of the fires. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Work zones often signify areas of improvement and progress, but for construction workers, it's their office and livelihood. Governor Tony Evers, together with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, has proclaimed this week as Work Zone Awareness Week in Wisconsin. For 25 years, National Work Zone Awareness Week has marked the start of construction season across the country, promoting road worker safety and cautious driving in work zones. This year's National Awareness Week theme is Respect the Zone So We All Get Home. Wisconsin DOT is urging motorists to practice safe, responsible driving habits, especially in work zones, as the 2025 construction season gets underway. In Wisconsin, work zones include highway construction and rolling maintenance operations, as well as emergency response municipal projects and utility work along local roads. This year alone, Wisconsin DOT anticipates more than 400 state highway and bridge improvement projects across Wisconsin. Preliminary data shows more than 2,150 crashes were recorded in Wisconsin work zones in 2024, resulting in 10 deaths and more than 750 injuries. From 2020 to 2024, Wisconsin work zones saw more than 10,300 crashes, causing 56 deaths and more than 3,600 injuries. Speeding, tailgating, and distracted driving remain common factors in a majority of crashes. Cell phone use is one of the most common factors in distracted driving crashes. Wisconsin law prohibits texting while driving on any road. State law also prohibits use of a handheld mobile device in work zones and in areas surrounding emergency response vehicles with flashing lights. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
It's draft day in Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. From Green Bay, where the NFL draft gets underway tonight, many experts predicting the Packers could use the 23rd pick on Texas wide receiver Matthew Golden, who was spotted shaking hands with Packers GM Brian Gutekunst on the Rich Eisen Show. Has he been here before?
It's definitely not my first time meeting with him. I had a meeting with him 2 weeks ago. Got around the coaching staff, you know, the organization. Felt like home to me.
Did you visit here? So this is not your first trip to Green Bay,
as a matter of fact. It's not my first trip.
Who else have you personally visited?
Met with Houston, Pittsburgh, Broncos, Detroit.
Have you personally visited with the Dallas Cowboys?
Yes, sir.
Oh! What was that about?
It was cool, man.
Baseball, the Brewers scoring 2 runs in the 9th, but it wasn't enough. They lost to the Giants 4-2 last night in San Francisco.
It's all part of getting started in a new year. We're all trying to find ourselves, find our own identity.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly to mostly cloudy today. We may catch a sprinkle or two at some point. Our high right around 68 this afternoon. Some showers and thundershowers tonight. Our low 47. Tomorrow, some scattered rain. Quarter inch or more is possible. 56 the weekend. Looking pretty good. Sunshine, 60 Saturday. Upper 60s on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 54.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight.
Your timing, good fellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad lib to De Niro. He's like, security. You're like, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And wow. Him, he said, make sure you don't call it ad lib. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulsiewicz joins me next in the guest co-host chair. We discuss Pope Francis's passing. What was this Pope's legacy? A progressive or something else?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. News from the Center, WRCE.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Joined on this Thursday morning at 7:06, like it will be every Thursday, by meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO in Madison, Greg Bach at Radio Park. Nice to have you all along on this Thursday morning. Coming up yet this hour, we will be talking to Sarah Godlewski, the Wisconsin Secretary of State, who is going to be making a run for a leadership position in the Wisconsin Democratic Party, part of a whole generational change of leadership happening there with Ben Wickler stepping down. Then in our next hour, we have a guest who wants to talk about Robert Kennedy's offensive comments about autism and people with autism. And we'll also be getting an update from Joe Zepecki on his run for state Democratic Party chair. We had William Garcia on yesterday, one of the other candidates, and Devin Remicker, the other candidate for state party chair, will be on at 8:30 tomorrow morning. Temperatures around the state right now at 7 o'clock, not much different than in our last hour. It is 48 here on Lake Wissota, still 29 in Hayward, 42 in Amory, 47 in Wausau where Chad is, 51 in Rapids, La Crosse 54, Green Bay 52, Madison 55, Milwaukee 58. Before we get to Chad and Wausau about things that are happening there, let's find out from Brittany first, not only the NFL draft weather for tonight in Green Bay, but what's up with Hayward being at 29?
I know.
Gotta get them out of the 20s.
Yourself.
Yeah. Come on, Hayward. Lift yourself up, you know?
Seriously. Well, you know what? 70s spread so far north yesterday. I was pretty happy to see them all the way up to the UP and stuff. So they got some warmth yesterday. Mm-hmm. But of course, they did fall a little cold tonight. We've got a huge spread of temperatures, not only this morning from the upper 20s to the upper 50s, but today up north is going to be into those 40s. And we're going to potentially see some low 80s down south today. So a big spread of temperatures across the state. We're also looking at a low pressure system trying to hurry up and get its way to the draft. Go figure. It's the worst timing possible. Mother Nature's first round pick is to bring some scattered showers and rain to the draft. Now, what we're looking at is as a system moves in, we are looking at some more scattered showers starting to spark up this afternoon. They could be anywhere in the state, but a lot of the heavy, steady rain rolls into the northwestern parts of the state pretty much this evening. It spreads into the northern half for the evening, and then overnight, it's going to start to fill into some of the southern areas and into the Fox Valley. So that rain is going to start into Green Bay and Titletown pretty much tomorrow morning through about noon is when it wants to wind down. And I'm looking at the heaviest rain kind of falling between 7 a.m. and 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. And it's also going to be just a raw, blustery, kind of crummy, dreary day there. We're looking at rain, you know, going on in the morning. Windy conditions all throughout the day, gusts out of the north up to 30 miles per hour, keeping our high temperatures tomorrow to about 50 degrees. So you put wind chills on top of that. People out there towards Lambeau are going to be feeling more like the 40s. So it's going to be cold tomorrow in terms of what we've been used to yesterday, of course. Then we start to warm things up and clear things out by night. Tomorrow night, we'll start to see clearer skies. Tons of sunshine on Saturday, high temperatures at about 60 degrees. And then Sunday, a little bit warmer into the mid-60s with that sunshine hanging on. But it's a wet system. We're looking at a good quarter of an inch widespread of rain and maybe an inch all the way from Minneapolis to the UP.
And so ends any affiliation between Brittany Merlot and the Green Bay Convention and Visitors Bureau. Based on the weather tonight.
According to her shirt, she's a big fan of Een Bay. I don't know what that Een is. Bay. Oh, never
move
mind.
The hair.
Green,
there
oh,
we go.
Sorry.
Green okay. Bay. Yep, she is ready for the conditions here. Chad, how about you? Do you pay much attention on NFL draft night?
Yes and no, but I know a couple of folks that are going over there. In fact, person I'm going to have coming up here in just a few minutes on my segment will be heading over there, going to get a little intel on that, and I got a good friend that's heading over as well. But I'll watch for the for the draft information. But I really was not somebody that has a great interest in heading on over there and standing in the rain and enjoying that. In fact, for many years I haven't. People have tried to say, "Hey, come on over! I got a ticket. We go to see the game." I'd rather stay home.
That's all right. I mean, look, there are only a couple hundred thousand people that want to do differently, and that's okay. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy, 47 degrees. We got a tenth of an inch of rain. Many farmers were busy doing field work. The grass is greening out nicely. We're about a week or so away from mowing. While I was in the Wittenberg area looking at mowing jobs, there was definitely higher traffic along 29 heading toward Green Bay for the NFL draft festivities. And we were talking about Georgia having its own state song from Ray Charles in our last segment. And Rob says if Wisconsin had an official state song, it would have to be a polka, since Wisconsin has the official state dance with polka. Tony asks on YouTube, yeah, where is Wisconsin's classic song? Georgia has one, West Virginia. Those aren't even cool states. So, again, I guess we have to find... Well, that'll work. Yes. Wipeout. The polka version.
This is totally works. Harry Kosick and the Red River Boys playing Wipeout from Milwaukee. They're from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
It has to be Roll Out the Barrel. I mean, come on.
All right, yeah. Chad, you know what, Chad? Hey, yep. Chad, just roll with it, all right, would you?
Oh, roll with it. I like
thank you, Steve Winwood.
Yes, exactly. So Chad will continue to be covering some of the stories happening around Wausau, as will Brittany. And we mentioned yesterday that as part of the new show here, some of our stations will cut away a couple times an hour so that they can have some of their local news and stories as well. Chad, I have to think that one of the things you're continuing to talk about would be how Wausau Mayor Doug Diddy, who is being looked at by their local ethics board for moving that absentee ballot drop box, is now wanting to make new appointments to the ethics board, putting some Republican buddies on there, just as they're taking a look at him. And I don't think that's going to fly, right?
No, but it's still a power play. And I think one of the aspects that has to be looked at as well, not just the idea that he has put out these four names to move on to the board. And of course, to be honest with you, two of the names I am not familiar with. I have no idea whether they're left, right, or center. But two of them are well known for many years, I mean, decades in this community, Deb Hadley and Kevin Hermaning, and both very far right in terms of their political leanings. That doesn't mean, I mean, it's not on itself disqualifying, but at the same time, I think the timing of it with another meeting coming up next week in terms of the ethics committee and the process continuing. I've talked to folks around here, and there's a sense that the people that are actually signing their names to the complaint, because it starts with citizens who say, hey, this was not right. Mm-hmm. They're nervous about going forward, that they're, it's much like what we see nationally, that there are people that don't want to put their neck out on the line in order to have this mayor who is not afraid to throw a few elbows and show that he feels as though he's got the power within this community. It's I think beyond anything, it's a bit of a power play.
Do you remember when people were saying, oh, you know, Katie Rosenberg is too progressive. We need somebody that can appeal to everybody, can be more of a, you know, uniter and not a divider. And have we not just taken the divisiveness and ramped it up to a whole new level with the, you know, the partisanship that's been injected into this mayor's office at this point? I mean, it has brought so much attention to Wausau that it frankly doesn't deserve. And now you have these ethics board members whose terms are expiring, at the end of this month, right?
Yeah.
They get to stay on until the city council appoints their successors, whether it's the mayor's, you know, wishes or not. And you'd think Republicans would be good with that, since they were good with Fred Prenn staying on the State Natural Resources Board after his term expired, right?
I found it so ironic that when I started my program, when Civic Media started here in Wausau and I came on the air, one of the first big stories was Fred Prenn, Wausau dentist, gun shop owner at one time as well, refusing to leave. And that was the right thing to do then. Now it's not quite the right thing to do. But, you know, and you're exactly right. I mean, you go back. I mean, it's hard to believe the term for Doug Dinney just began a year ago. It feels like it's been a lot longer than that. He talked about, you know, Mayor Rosenberg, stay in your lane. That was one of the things that he talked about, stay in your lane. He was just going to be coming to do the job, you know, instead of being out there talking about some of these other issues that they feel like you shouldn't be talking about, because, you know, that's not the way that the mayor should be running the office. And it's become this where they put their finger in everything. And again, it just comes across as he doesn't feel like there's any guardrails. His lane is as wide as it wants to be. It's very interesting to see how rhetoric at one point changes once you actually get behind the desk.
It's a do whatever you want. I've noticed an uptick in, again, continued public activity calling out their members of Congress for essentially just rolling over and letting Donald Trump do whatever he wants. There was a demonstration, I believe, in Wausau yesterday. I saw some photos on Facebook from people basically saying Tom Tiffany is missing in action. There's one tonight in South Milwaukee called Where's Brian Style? And so State Senator Chris Larson and Representative Chris Sinicki will be in South Milwaukee this evening at the City Hall starting at 5:30. Yes, Mr. Bach.
We actually had Sean Fetteplace from Main Street Alliance on yesterday, and they said the 2 days before they had a rally where they invited Derek Van Orden up in the third. It was in La Crosse, and there was over 300 people there. Mark Pocan showed up, talked to the people. Bernie Sanders called into the event, and they were on with him. But Derek Van Orden nowhere to be found.
Really?
Yeah.
He
was too busy yelling at youngsters about the capriciousness of youth.
and yelling at me for eating too much. But you had Nancy Stensel, Marathon County Democratic Party chair, on recently too. And again, those folks are staying active, and I think they're finding more people who are looking at that story from yesterday, for example, that the FDA has had to lay off so many people, they can't do safety inspections of milk. Safety inspections of milk, Chad.
And again, I mean, and I would encourage folks to check out my blog posting on Representative Tiffany from yesterday, because while yesterday those folks wanted to talk to him, they had their event here in Wausau at Tom Tiffany's Wausau office at the very same time during the day. Later in the day, Tom Tiffany did have time to go over to the Wausau Chamber of Commerce office, which is just down the road here, and answer questions from those who have the political and financial might within this community. Had time to answer their questions, but don't have time to answer the questions of average constituents. And there's another 7th District town hall with an empty chair coming up tonight here in Wausau, where they've invited Tom Tiffany to come and speak and answer questions. But again, he is unavailable.
There are three groups of people that a congressman can or a legislator can decide if they want to see or not. And Congressman Tiffany's chosen two out of three, the ones with connections, and cash, if you can, you know, pay for a ticket to go to a county Republican Party dinner, and then constituents. It's connections, cash, and constituents, and we see where folks are falling down on that. In sports, the Brewers lost in San Francisco 4-2. They will wrap up that series this afternoon. 2:10 is when the pregame gets started on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. Head over to the Civic Media website to learn more. Chad Brittany, thank you so much for the updates from Northern and Central Wisconsin. Appreciate that very much. When we still ahead in the program today is what he meant to say. We will be talking to Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. And in our 8 o'clock hour, we'll talk about Robert Kennedy Jr.'s insane comments on autism and get a visit from Joe Zepecki. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so, they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem. Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. The Todd Albaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch the Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Today we're talking about the upcoming Sting Night, the Richland Center Boosters Sting Night, Hall of Fame, and College Signing Night. Coach Andrew Troxell is in the studio with us, and Kirk Layer as well. Here we go again. Kirk, another year, and we're honoring some more deserving people.
It's a special night for us. Sting Night was started quite a few years ago now. It's like we're in our fifth or sixth year. Got COVID in there, so we missed a year. But it was started out as a brainchild of where we set an event up at the White House there, and it's grown ever since. This is going to be our second year that we're going to be at the Phoenix Center on the 26th, this Saturday. We're excited about it. It's our biggest fundraiser of the year. We've added in the Hall of Fame, which I kind of advocated for that myself. The Hall of Fame was kind of always just done during like a halftime of a basketball game or between wrestling matches and stuff. The Hall of Fame for wrestling now is done between rounds at the RC Invitational, and that's improved attendance there quite a bit. And then now we've added things like the signing night, you know, last year. And it's always great when you can sit down and honor athletes from the past or now even some other things that we've done as far as supporters and coaches and even contributors, you know, and we're going to be talking about all of those type of people this morning that are going to get in the group this year.
I know that you have a great group going in, and do you keep them from year to year if somebody nominated somebody and maybe they're not on the list this year?
We've got a very good, what do you call, resume there, you know, that has been added. I know you've been involved with Hall of Fame groups before, and a lot of people ask, well, how did that person get in, or why isn't this person in? A lot of it comes down to you got to make sure you nominate people, you know, and so that's helped in the last few years. We've got is that we've been more visible, I would say. I wouldn't say more visible, but we've been asking for them and stuff. So we got a nice good pool there, and we tend not to. We kind of changed that. They used to be there for so many years, and then they would drop off. We tend now to just kind of leave them there, the applications. And, you know, one group over another group looks at those individuals differently than maybe I or you would. And so I think it's a good idea we just leave them there. And if somebody down the line here in 5 or 6 years decides, well, that person should have been in long ago, that's fine with me.
Mm-hmm. Coach Troxell, as you look at this, this is, I think, a really cool thing because you got the current Hornets and you've got the past. I think it's important to kind of share the two, isn't it?
It is. We were talking a little bit earlier about how this is kind of a full circle moment, you know, that some of these guys that, and gals that are going into the Hall of Fame, we can celebrate their high school and their collegiate careers, but also we can see kind of the initial journey with a lot of these prep athletes that get the opportunity or have put themselves in the position to compete at the collegiate level. So this signing thing has been awesome. I know it's, I think, our fifth year doing it at Center. And it was just kind of born out of an idea that we really want to celebrate this, that it's a big deal with kids that are able to kind of take their talents to the next level, whether that be at the Division I level, you know, all the way to the Division III level or even kind of a JUCO school as well. So we're super excited to see our kids year in and year out be able to kind of be recognized as potential contributors at the collegiate level. So this year's class is no different. A lot of really talented kids that are going to take their skills to college.
I've been at Richland Center a few times over the years when you've had the college signings, and a lot of times it's during the day. People work, or it's just after school or something. This kind of puts a light on these young athletes signing, doesn't it?
Yeah, we want to make it a really big deal because it really is. You know, and in years past, we've just had kind of an isolated signing event, you know, and you had fans or family and friends that would show up, right, and support. But, I mean, now that we've partnered with the Booster Club, you know, there's a lot of pomp and circumstance that goes into it, you know, and you get fairly sizable crowds, you know, and it's just really exciting, right, to kind of see a kid's athletic career end this way, right, with a kind of a grand send-off, you know, before they go on to their final summer and then into school in the fall.
You as a coach appreciate what the sports boosters do at Richland Center, I'm sure.
Oh, without question. You know, I mean, I think the cost of athletics has just risen insurmountably, you know, especially for football. You know, I did the math last season, and I think every kid, it's about $1,200 to put them in equipment, you know, and now that we're kind of on the tail end of COVID and that was kind of that hurt our participation numbers, right? We're seeing kind of improvement, right? More kids that are coming out and increased participation numbers. Well, that's expensive, you know? So for our program alone, I mean, the Booster Club was able to provide thousands of dollars, you know, to outfit kids with shoulder pads, with uniforms, right? You know, with any of these costs that, I mean, I just fundraising that money is darn near impossible.
And they keep updating. I mean, the helmets have to be updated every so often, don't they?
Yeah, the average lifespan is about 10 years or so, you know, but we send in, you know, what we can every single year. And it's not a guarantee they come back in good shape. Some are rejected, you know, and so helmets are going to range anywhere from $400 to $550. You know, there's a lot of science and tech that goes into it. You know, shoulder pads are kind of getting to that level as well, where you're looking anywhere from $250 to $350 for those. So we want to make sure that our kids have the best equipment they can. You know, we want to make sure that they're safe when they compete, you know, and that comes with an added cost. And so the Booster Club has been awesome, making sure that we have what we need to put our kids in the best equipment that we can find.
Kirk, how does the Booster Club make money from this Saturday Sting Night then?
Well, the biggest way we make money this Saturday night, because it is, there is no entrance fee or anything like that that you have to pay to get in or anything. The biggest thing we have as far to this weekend is our silent auction that we do. And then we also have, which I think has worked kind of well too, last year especially, is we also have a $500 bucket raffle that goes on during the night. And that became very popular. And that's part of where the athletes really come in and get involved. We try to involve a lot of all the teams as far as athletes. They'll help throughout the night with things. And one of them is selling tickets for the bucket raffle. People would much rather buy a raffle ticket from one of these young athletes than they would want to buy them from Andy or you or I, you know.
Yeah, so, hard to say no to those youngsters.
Yeah, I know it. And they do a really great job. They help with things, and it helps me give you a chance to other things that are going on. They help out. We have free bowling that night for the young less than, let's say, 10-year-olds, you know, and all the athletes help there with as far as getting that set up. You know, so like I said before, this is our biggest fundraiser of the year. And this helps fund not only football, but funds a lot of the athletics throughout the school. We try to make sure that the funds that are raised, all of the funds go back into some way to support the athletes. It's either through weight training equipment.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Now that winter is over, there are more travelers on the roadways heading to out-of-state destinations. There has also been an increase of fake toll charge text. Michelle Reinen is with the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
Wisconsin's getting hit really hard with this right now, and part of it, we think, is because of spring breaks and the variations across the state with the timing of spring break. And, of course, we border a state that has tolls, and others travel down south where they exist or maybe to visit friends and family where tolls exist. So we got hit really hard with these text messages that indicate they're from a tolling agency, and they look like they're either from Easy Pass or Wisconsin DOT. And they say that you are overdue or delinquent in having paid your tolls from having traveled through, and that you need to go to a website that looks like it's legitimate.
Even though the text and the website it directs you to may look real, they should be ignored. If you feel the information you receive is real, do some research before taking action.
If you really did travel out of state where there is a toll, then go directly to that tolling agency website, not using the link that's in the text message. Go find it yourself.
Michelle Reinen says that if you receive a text about a toll charge, best thing to do is get rid of it.
Please delete the message. If reporting it as junk to your provider doesn't auto-delete, then you take action to delete it.
If you receive toll charge text, you can contact ATCAP's Consumer Protection Hotline by phone at 1-800-422-7128 or by email at datcphotline@wi.gov.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There's lots of Star Wars news lately. Here's the latest. Andor makes its return for season two. The show returns almost 2 years after the finale of season one. Diego Luna plays Cassian Andor, just like he did in Rogue One. The show is crushing on Rotten Tomatoes at 98%. Season two will have 12 episodes. The first three episodes dropped Tuesday, April 22nd. Disney Plus will release three episodes every week on Tuesdays, totaling a four-week run. Disney Plus says this will be the final season of the popular show. In more Season 2 news, Nathan Felder is back for Season 2 of The Rehearsal. The hilariously awkward creator of the show is also the leading man as he tries to help people get better at living their own lives by rehearsing them. Things usually go very wrong, and therein lies the hilarity. Season 2 will have 6 episodes, just like the first season. The HBO show drops every Sunday night following The Righteous Gemstones. Happy Weird Sunday Night on Max, everyone. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly to mostly cloudy today. We may catch a sprinkle or two at some point. Our high right around 68 this afternoon. Some showers and thundershowers tonight. Our low 47 tomorrow. Some scattered rain. Quarter inch or more is possible. 56 the weekend. Looking pretty good. Sunshine 60 Saturday. Upper 60s on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 52.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that, where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulswitz joins me next in the guest co-host chair. We discuss Pope Francis's passing. What was this Pope's legacy? A progressive or something else?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
This late ad from Robin Tigerton could be because we played a polka version of Wipeout earlier, and he reminds us Wipeout was the theme song for the old Dan Devine show back in the early 1970s when he was the coach of the Green Bay Packers. I appreciate that little musical interlude there from you, Rob, and from Roger and Stevens Point on Facebook. From my Facebook memories, 5 years ago today, Harold Reed, the bass singer and comedian from the multi-award-winning group the Statler Brothers, passed away. I was fortunate to see them on stage when I was in high school. Thank you, Roger, for passing that along. And again, as always, you can share your notes with us. Just head over to Facebook or YouTube. Put something in the comment section there. We may see it and put it up on screen. Or you can text the show as well through the Civic Media app or through this phone number, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Did you know there is a new weekend edition of the newsletters we put out here at Up North News? Not just the Monday through Friday one that Christina Laurie puts together, but now one that you can get on Sunday mornings that comes from me. It is a week in review of Wisconsin political stories. So head over to upnorthnewswi.com to learn more. I sense that one of these weekends stories about Wisconsin politics might involve our next guest, Sarah Godlewski, Wisconsin's Secretary of State, who joins us now. And we're going to talk a bit about the changes in the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, the state convention that's coming up, and you know what kind of role she wants to play in the next generation of leadership. Madam Secretary, good morning. How are you?
Well, good morning, Pat. It is great to be with you today.
Yes. We've talked about the Secretary of State duties, obviously your role as state treasurer prior to that. We now know that Ben Wickler is stepping down as state Democratic Party chair. Yesterday, you made public an announcement of what you might like to do once Democrats gather in Wisconsin Dells coming up in just under 2 months to talk about where leadership goes from here. What is it that you hope to do in the next chapter of Democratic Party leadership?
Well, I announced yesterday that I plan to announced running for vice chair of the party here in Wisconsin. And the thing to note about this, Pat, is that I can stay as Secretary of State. Historically, the first vice chair has been an elected official. And it's not something that I thought that I would do, but the last month, I've been traveling the state between listening sessions for the governor's budget to empty town halls that we've been doing where congressional members haven't been showing up. And to me, it's really clear that we need to meet people where they are and listen and communicate our message better. And so I think in this role, this is something that as vice chair of the party, I can work with communities, work with our elected officials to help do that in this era of Trump, who is just destroying this country, and we've got to fight back.
The other thing to keep in mind about the vice chair role is that The chair of the party is, again, not some kind of a king or queen. There's an executive committee, essentially, that works with the party. The vice chair is part of it. I was part of it briefly as chair of the County Chairs Association, representing all of the county parties. And so can you tell folks a bit more about the collaborative process that's involved? Yes, we put a lot of stock in who is the state chair of the Democratic or Republican Party, but, to borrow a phrase, it takes a village.
Well said. And that's what I think is so great about our party structure is that we have 72 counties, and collectively, Democrats can come and be members to go to convention that will be in June. And they then vote for the chair, the vice chair, the secretary, or the second vice chair, the secretary, and the treasurer. And so you have a say and a voice in this process. So when I look at it, I just think there's a lot of opportunities where we can be working together. And I'm really, really excited to be doing more of that.
Yeah. And again, it's one of these things that's voted on by delegates who come from county parties, across Wisconsin, and yes, other members of it who will be gathering at that point. And it is, as the candidates for chair have talked about, there's kind of this mixed bag here for Democrats right now. Obviously, folks are riding high after the election of Justice-elect Crawford to the state Supreme Court. But it's also a state that went narrowly for Donald Trump in two out of the past three elections, and did not have any turnover in the congressional delegation. So clearly there's work to be done. We've shown in April, what progressive messaging can do. Everybody is trying to have some kind of prescription for the Democratic Party. In fact, next week, we're going to talk again to Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich, who put together an essay on where he thinks the Democratic Party needs to go from here. So I just wanted to give you a chance to riff a bit on that subject of, in light of both the Trump victory and the Crawford victory, where you think Wisconsin Democrats overall need to go, where the Democratic Party needs to go in this state?
Well, I think for starters, the Democratic Party has to be everywhere. We've got to show up in communities across our state and talk about, when we govern, what that looks like. Because right now, people are living in this constant fear of chaos. I mean, whether it's the farmer that I was talking to in Western Wisconsin, where he is constantly concerned about these tariffs. He just lost his funding for farm equipment that he was relying on, and he's not sure how he's going to make his mortgage. To veterans that I was talking to in Northeastern Wisconsin, who have seen thousands of veteran employees who support the services that they receive after serving this country. To, Wisconsinites who are working hard every single day, and they're seeing a billionaire who is manipulating what democracy looks like in our country and in our state. And so I think when we show up and listen to folks, we have real opportunities to be providing our messages. I mean, look, like, I was talking to a group of school teachers recently who were sharing their concerns about how the Trump administration is cutting the Department of Education. Wisconsin has been founded on public education. It's something that we're incredibly proud of. And now we're going to be losing critical funding, like for Head Start and programs that are helping some of our most vulnerable. And we need to let them know why. I mean, this is because of Donald Trump or the Republicans in our state legislature, and we deserve better.
From the Facebook page from Ardith here, so glad to see Sarah Godlewski running for a position again. I think she's an organized candidate who can help put this state together again. Good luck, Sarah, writes Ardith. And now, from being a Chippewa Valley native, that one of the best games to play is bash the Madison Party. Because obviously the folks in the Chippewa Valley, folks up north, northeast Wisconsin, everybody wants to have a voice. William Garcia talked about it yesterday in his interview, making sure that the state party listens to everybody and isn't just trying to squeeze a few extra votes out of the Madison-Milwaukee area.
And I think that's going to be a perpetual topic. There's always a way you can do a little bit more in greater Wisconsin. You've certainly seen that from the Chippewa Valley. So as a vice chair, what perspective would you bring to make sure that the folks in Madison always have a border-to-border view of the tasks ahead of them?
Well, I think part of that goes to, you know, I am a proud fifth generation Western Wisconsinite, whether my, you know, my parents are retired public school teachers, to the, you know, growing up there, I feel like that perspective matters. But it's also about, while I might be here in Madison today, I'm always constantly on the road, Pat. Like, I'm on the road all the time, whether it's in Cross Plains or in the Chippewa Valley or in the Fox Valley to being in Ashland and Superior, listening to folks and showing up, because I think for so long, people think that, you know, what happens in Madison is just stays in Madison. And what we've got to do is make sure that we are the party of the entire state, because I will tell you what affects people in the Chippewa Valley and in the Fox Valley are also affecting people in Dane County. And whether that is, for example, access to Medicare and Medicaid, to their public schools, to we know, like, childcare. I mean, that's affecting rural communities just as it's affecting urban communities. And parents need places for their kids to go. They want quality, affordable care. And so I think that there is a lot more that unites us than divides us. And what we need to be able to do is, I mean, the Trump administration is already dividing us, and we need to make sure that we are really emphasizing that time and time again, as we are seeing, you know, the chaos that is really hurting our communities.
Yes, and we'll have more to say about Medicaid expansion, not just overall, but extending care to postpartum care to women from 60 days to 12 months after delivery. Again, it passed overwhelmingly in the state Senate. Robin Voss is still going to hold it up in the Assembly. Maybe there's a way around it. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski running for vice chair at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin at their state convention coming up in June. Sarah, always great to talk to you. Thank you so much for the update. Safe travels to you.
Thanks for having me, Pat.
All right. Have a great day. So about that Medicaid expansion, I learned something while doing a little reading around, because we keep talking about how it's Wisconsin and Arkansas are the only two states that have not yet accepted the federal funds that would extend postpartum coverage to new moms to 12 months. And some folks were saying, well, Arkansas is about to pass it. Well, it turns out the bill to do that passed overwhelmingly in the Arkansas House of Representatives, but it came up for a vote in a Senate committee about 2 weeks ago, and it was rejected in there. So Arkansas and Wisconsin are both actually in pretty much the same boat here, where one chamber of their legislature has approved it overwhelmingly, said this is a slam dunk. What are we even talking about here? And somebody or some people in the other chamber still taking the extremist view that new moms do not deserve stable and affordable health care coverage for that critical time, which goes well beyond 60 days after giving birth. So for the moment, it looks like Wisconsin and Arkansas will not have that postpartum expansion. But there is still time to reach out to your state assembly rep and or to Speaker Voss directly and to urge them to make this happen. But I was also very intrigued by something that I heard from at least one Democratic legislator yesterday, who said there's also going to be this push on Republicans, because so many Republicans are co-sponsors of this Medicaid postpartum expansion bill, is to say, forget about it in the bill, put it into the state budget. If it's in the state budget bill, Robin Voss can't stop it. Robin Voss can stop a single bill from coming up for a vote. He controls the calendar of when the state assembly will vote on things, but a state budget bill has to pass. And all the Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee are in favor of this postpartum extension for new moms. So if they would simply decide in the Joint Finance Committee to put it in the state budget bill, Robin Voss can't strip it out. Coming up in our next hour, we are going to have a discussion about autism. We've got a guest who took, shall we say, great offense
at what Robert Kennedy Jr. had to say about people with autism. And we're also going to talk to Joe Zepecki, who is running for state party chair and who joins us on Thursdays to talk a bit more about some of the headlines in Wisconsin politics. We continue to talk about the news every morning here up north live on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This message is sponsored by WISCaregiver.com. Now is the time to start a meaningful career as a caregiver. Make a real difference in people's lives. WISCaregiver.com gives you two great options for free. Train for the in-demand caregiver workforce as a CDCP, Certified Direct Care Professional, or become a CNA, Certified Nurse Aide. All training is free. Plus, you can earn a $500 bonus. Learn more. Visit WISCaregiver.com.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Beria. Trump administration wants big changes to the Endangered Species Act. The law has long been interpreted as including protections for habitat on the premise that destroying a species' food and shelter harms the species itself. But now the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and National Marine Fisheries Service said in a proposed rule that degrading or destroying habitat should not be considered harm. Habitat loss is the single biggest driver of wildlife extinction. State officials say someone illegally shot and killed a bull elk near the city of Black River Falls. The animal was one of the primary breeding bulls in an effort to reestablish populations of elk in central Wisconsin. It was wearing a GPS radio collar and there were trail cameras nearby, but the DNR says it still needs the public's help to find the shooter. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues in Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
All eyes are on Wisconsin as the NFL's 2025 Player Selection Draft is finally here. 250,000 people are expected. Here's Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich.
Our citizens are just so excited to welcome hundreds of thousands of guests to the city of Green Bay. We're thrilled about it. I mean, the economic impact is going to be substantial. $20 million roughly in the metro area, and then I think $96 million is the number that's being used statewide.
It's the second time Wisconsin is hosting the draft, the first in 1939. But do you know where? Was it Oshkosh, Milwaukee, or Madison? The answer's coming up.
The smallest NFL city, but the biggest heart.
And with the main campus all around Lambeau Field, it's a time for the whole area to shine. Now, did you guess the location for the 1939 draft? It was a one-day event in Milwaukee with the NFL championship game the very next day. By the way, the Packers beat the Giants 27-0. There's a winning slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Check out my war plans. Pete Hegseth talking about first big strike against the Houthis in Yemen on Signal, two separate channels. Yes, the one you heard about before with the reporter on it. Oops-a-day. And now also his wife, his bro, and his lawyer who magically got hired by the Pentagon. This guy's judgment could not be worse. Do you think Hegseth should probably resign?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Today, we're talking about the upcoming Sting Night, the Richland Center Boosters Sting Night, Hall of Fame, and College Signing Night.
The group has worked really hard on it, and it's not just myself, but a whole group of people involved with the Booster Club. And this is my chance to put the plug in for anybody who would really is, you know, like Andy said, you know, we're an open club. You know, we welcome all people, and these are the type of things we do, like Sting Night and several other things, and helping at athletic events and helping raise funds for this for the athletic groups within the district. But we need your assistance. We'd appreciate your assistance. You know, so come out, see what it's about here at Sting Night. It's at the Phoenix Center this Saturday. We get in there early Saturday morning and we help set up with the good chance to put a pimp in here for Greg and Amy. This is their second year of sponsoring us there, and great host, you know, just great host. And it doesn't hurt that they have a few athletes there to help Andy and his crew out, you know. And so going to lose one of them this year. Kind of, it's always pride to see that go on. But the Doors will get the stuff set up there as far as the silent auction. So it'll be there early in the day. But the official Doors opening is at 4 o'clock or 4:30, excuse me. But we've even asked our honorees to show up around 4. So we like to say, like Andy said, we like to get them there and we like to get them to mingle in the crowd. But the Doors open at 4:30. Kids bowling starts at 5. The Phoenix Center is generous there. They donate about 4 lanes or so for the young children, kids, whatever, to bowl, and the athletes help them through the bowling process. Hall of Fame inductions, we're looking for them to start about 5:30. Whatever time that takes, we're anticipating, you know, 6:30 to maybe 7. And then what we do like to do then is we basically have a break. First of all, we end the $500 cash raffle that's going on for the night at that time. So then we throw the $500 out into the crowd to one person, and hopefully it gives them a chance to spend some of that. Plus then there's that break in there of about 30 minutes so that we can get some pictures taken with the Hall of Fame members and give them a chance to get pictures with their family and stuff. And then after that, then we will end the silent auction at that time, and we'll turn the night over to Andy and his crew, and they'll start with the signing night.
All right. Sounds good. And let's talk about that a little bit. Andy, who's going to be signing from Richland Center High School this year?
Well, this year we've got 3 kids, two that will be in attendance on Saturday's festivities. The first is going to be Tyler Woodman. You know, Tyler Woodman is going to compete for Drake University in Des Moines, Iowa. Now, Tyler has put himself in a position to really do well. I know the high school experience probably wasn't the best, some injuries along the way, right? But this kid is really, really tenacious in terms of how he works and puts himself in a position to have success. And so he was very active, you know, talking to a lot of different universities. And so Drake saw his size. They had some questions for me, you know, and they're like, hey, we're going to take a shot on this kid. We think that he's got a lot of potential, you know, and it's great that, I mean, he's going to go into that opportunity healthy going forward here. And Tyler's going to be our first Division I FCS signee that we've had in the last probably 5-6 years or so. We'd like to see him stay in the state of Wisconsin, but hey, you go where opportunities are going to present themselves. So he'll take his talents down to Drake in Des Moines. The second will be a familiar name, Ethan Haiti. Ethan Haiti is going to go to Mount Vernon, Iowa, and compete for Cornell College. He's going to go for wrestling, you know. So Ethan has a very, very storied career, as we know, you know, and so it's nice to see him get that opportunity to go to the Mecca for wrestling, you know. Mm-hmm. No disrespect to the state of Wisconsin, but Iowa loves their wrestlers. So it'll be great to see him compete in a very competitive division. And then the last one is a new one that we haven't seen before, and this is Keegan Cooley. And Keegan Cooley, again, is going to go to the state of Iowa. He's going to go to Fort Dodge and attend Iowa Central, and he's going to go for rodeo, you know. And so that's a JUCO school, and it's great that we're having a bunch of different athletes that have diverse skill sets that get the opportunity to kind of share at that level. So I know that Keegan won't be there on Saturday because he has a rodeo. So I think they're all over the place in the state of Wisconsin, throughout the Midwest, you know, and doing just a lot of that stuff. So it's really kind of cool that we've got a football kid, a wrestler, you know, and then a rodeo kid as well. And what's really cool about these kids, you know, just this year, you know, in years past, is that the state of college athletics looks totally different with the transfer portal, you know, and so it's really hard to get the attention of colleges, right, you know, post-COVID, because there's a lot of bouncing around that happens at the collegiate level. So, I mean, just to have the opportunity to walk on or participate, you know, is a testament to their ability as athletes. And it's always cool that, you know, we have these kids that come from, you know, small town America in Richland Center, right, and are able to kind of throw their name in the ring, you know, and perform well with the best of them from all over the country.
You had a big group go in last year sign on the dotted line, didn't you?
Yeah, we had 6 kids last year, 5 of which stayed in the state of Wisconsin. And what's kind of cool is that this is kind of growing. So last year, I think 5 of these individuals were from Richland Center, but we also had Kaylee Peterson from Ithaca that went to Stevens Point. So it's kind of cool that these co-ops also were able to celebrate them. So doesn't matter where you are, right? If you represent Orange in some capacity, right, we want to make sure that we send you off right. So, yeah, 5 in the state of Wisconsin, 1 went to Illinois. And so we anticipate going forward that our numbers are going to continue to rise because, I mean, our athletes are just very committed to improving themselves, right, and just the overall teams at Richland Center High School as well.
You're going to have your players, some of your guys helping out, I'm guessing, behind the scenes then too?
Yep. The Booster Club does a wonderful job with organizations, so they tell us where they need assistance, and we just got to crack the whip and get some guys there. So, yeah, so we've got a lot of representation from all sports, which is great, right? That's a unified approach from our overall student athletic community, that they're able to kind of support one another, support the youth, but also kind of celebrate the Hall of Fame folks as well.
Awesome. Sting Night coming up at the Phoenix Center this week, the Hall of Fame and College Signing Night. Don't miss it. Silent auction, free kids bowling, $500 bucket raffle. You have a kissing booth, Kurt, or not?
I don't know. Unless Tiffany is going to volunteer for that.
I know I'm not going to volunteer for that.
No, I threw her under the bus.
A lot of things going on and a lot of fun and some very deserving folks again. Brian Strang, Bruce Wilson, Greg Betesnik, Richard Dick Newman, and the 1983 Class B state champion girls track team officially going into the...
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. As the church begins final preparations for Saturday service and procession to the church where Pope Francis will be laid to rest, his final wishes are being revealed. In Rome, ABC's James Longman.
His wooden coffin placed at ground level, not elevated, so that those gathering could see him more easily.
He is keeping some traditions. He'll wear his pallium, a scarf-like garment and a symbol of his status as a good shepherd. A bag of coins featuring his portrait and a document summarizing his papacy will be buried with him.
50,000 mourners have filed past the casket in Rome so far. President Trump pushing back on Ukraine for a peace deal. President Zelensky saying no to U.S. demands that Ukraine not be allowed to join NATO and that Russia be allowed to keep all of the land that it has captured so far. President Trump continuing to push for negotiations with trading partners as American companies, including Southwest Airlines and PepsiCo, lower their earnings estimate for the year because of tariff uncertainty.